Sing unto you a new song with all that is within us. We would bless your holy name, O God of heaven. Lord, we would approach you this night, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, we would pour forth our souls. We would lift our voice in praise to you, the one who dwells in the heavens. O Lord, heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool. And we would honor you, the one who is clothed in garments of light. You are arrayed in splendor. We look to you in your pavilion of glory. And, O Spirit of the living God, would you descend? O Spirit of Christ, would you enable us to worship you tonight with reverence and with godly fear? For you, O Lord, are a consuming fire. And all this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be seated. Our New Testament reading tonight will come from the Gospel of Matthew, from Matthew and chapter 22, and we'll read verses 23 through 46. So on Lord's Day evenings, we're not only preaching through the Scriptures, we're also reading through books of the Bible, and so we've been reading through the Gospel of Matthew now for several months. And we come tonight to Matthew 22, and beginning with verse 23. And this is where Jesus will answer a question intended to undermine his authority, and then he will direct us to the greatest of all commandments. So beginning with verse 23. The same day, Sadducees came to him who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. We'll continue worshiping our great Christ together. We're going to turn to hymn number 508, seated while we sing together. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Jesus, lover of my soul, hymn 508.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace, plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin, let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
If you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek him together. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Father, Lord, we would call upon your name this night And we would approach you in the name of your Son, the only King and head of the church, our prophet, priest, and king, our blessed Savior and Redeemer. Thou, O Christ, truly thou art all we want. More than all in thee is found. Lord Jesus, you are our portion, you are our cup, you are our sufficiency. In our hunger, you are our heavenly manna. And in our thirst, you are that fountain of living waters. Lord, we confess to you tonight that we have so often have we dug fountains of our own. Lord, we have sought after those wells that do not satisfy. Lord, that we have spent our money, we have spent our labors for those things that are not bread. Oh Lord, that we have taken your commandments, your statutes, your judgments, and that we have cast them behind our back. That we have refused to listen. That we have hardened our neck. That we have turned a stubborn shoulder. Oh Lord, our iniquities have increased over our head, and like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for us. Lord, your arrows of conviction, they sink deeply into our affections. Oh Lord, all our desire is before you, and our groaning is not hidden from you. And so we would confess our iniquity tonight. And we would repent of our sin. We ask that you would, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh Lord, that tonight we would rejoice in a complete gospel. Oh Lord, that though you do sink the arrows of the law deeply into our souls, showing us the depth of our sin and rebellion, yet, oh God, with you there is hope. Oh Lord, in you would we place our hope. Lord Jesus, we would look to you. We would cling to you, our sufficient sin bearer. You, Lord Christ, you the one, you are the one who was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in you. Oh Lord Christ, we would cling, we would flee to you, Lord Jesus. Trusting that you are that great rock in a weary land, that you are that shelter from the storm, that you are that shield from the accusations of Satan. Lord Jesus, that you are the one who absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf, that in our place condemned you stood. Lord, we would flee to you and we would find refuge under the shadow of your wings. And rest, O Lord, on this Sabbath day, in rest we would quiet our souls. We would find our perfect, completed rest in you, Lord Jesus, on this first day of the week, this day on which you entered into your own rest, and having defeated death, rolling away the stone, rising from the dead on the third day. Oh, Spirit of the living God, would you take this matchless, precious gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, obedient, and resurrected on behalf of sinners. Lord, would you take this strong gospel, and Lord, would you, by your Spirit, would you send it abroad? Oh, God, we pray that you would send it into every home. Lord, for fathers and husbands, would you equip them to pay their vows before their families, before your people? We pray, Lord, that you would convict and that you would equip and that you would exhort and that you would draw husbands and fathers to lead their households well, to lead, oh God, having been filled with the Spirit of Christ. Lord, let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, give us to lead, pointing our wives and children with a straight finger to the Lord of glory. Lord, give us to point others to Him through our example, through our conversation. Oh, Spirit of Christ, would You hear these cries? And Lord, would You bless Your church? Oh, Lord, would You strengthen the walls of Zion? Lord, would You give Your church to arise? Oh, Lord, that she would arise as the people of Zion, that she would put on her beautiful garments, that she would arise from the dust, and that You would awake, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the days of old, in the generations gone past. Would You arise, O Lord, and would You extend Your hand of power? Lord, would You extend Your hand to the Wiregrass? Would You extend Your hand to our state? Lord, would You extend Your hand so that the nations are drawn to the light? Lord, would You arrest the attention of the scoffers? Would You arrest the attention of those who do not know You and who resist Your will? Lord, would You arrest the attention? Would You stop us in our tracks? And Lord, would all the nations be still and know that You are God? Oh Lord, You are our refuge and our strength. You are that strong arm. Yours is a mighty hand, and Your power remains unchanged. And so we plead with You that You would pour forth the Spirit of power upon this land. Would You equip Your word? Would You equip the preachers of Your word? Would You equip fathers and mothers to lead their homes, to lead their children in the knowledge of Christ? Oh Lord, hear us. For the sake of Your great name, would You hear us? Lord, we long for Your glory to be honored, to be adored, to pass by. We pray that tonight, O Lord, as Your word goes forth, that we would simply pause. Lord, that we would hear, that our ears would be opened, that our necks would be bent. Lord, that our feet would be turned. Oh, hear us, O Christ. Do much good unto Your church. O Lord, our God, be with us just as You were with our fathers. Would You neither leave us nor forsake us, and enable us to go from strength to strength until each one appears before God in Zion. Come, Holy Spirit, would You cause Your word to go forth in power. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Tonight our text will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 38. Psalm 38, this is on page 592 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 38, this is entitled a Psalm of David for the memorial offering. So it is a Psalm of remembrance. The message of the Bible calls upon you to know yourself as you are before the living God. And that's the message, that you would know Him as He has revealed Himself, and that you would know yourself as He sees you. And that's the message, that you would remember. And tonight, at this hour, evening sacrifice, at this our memorial offering, we would remember. Memory forms identity. We often are what we remember. And even if what you remember brings pain and sorrow, even that remembrance can stir the deepest love and longing and desire. There is a scene in the New Testament where this lady, she enters into a home where Jesus is having a meal. And she knows who she is. She knows her sin. She knows her rebellion. She knows her moral filth. She knows it. And what can she do but fall at the feet of Jesus? And she begins to wash his feet with her tears, and then to dry his feet with her hair. Memory forms identity, and it can drive the deepest longing and desire. Tonight, I want you to consider with me, how do you deepen your longing for Christ? How do you heighten? How do you increase your desire for God? This is what you were created to be and to do, was to long for your Creator, to ache for communion with God. That is what you were created to be and to do. And so I want to ask you, how does that come about? How do you come to deepen your desire for God? So we're going to read Psalm 38 together and spend a few minutes considering that question. A Psalm of David for the memorial offering. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, and like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like a deaf man. I do not hear. Like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity, and I am sorry for my sin. But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Well, David says in verse 9, O Lord, all my longing is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. And so how is it that you could read this line of David, and how could it match the longing and desire of your own soul? How is it that you also could, from the very core, the very deepest part of who you are, how is it that you also could say, all my longing is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you? I want you to hear two things out of this psalm as we consider this question: how do you deepen your desire and your longing for God? I want you to consider two things. And they both have to do with what you experience in your soul. I want you to hear, first of all, in order for you to deepen your desire for God, you must experience the burden. It is a prerequisite. It is a requirement. It is imperative that in order for you to deepen, to have this most earnest longing for Christ, you must be aware and experience the burden. How would you characterize the tone of this particular psalm? You know, different songs we hear in our own playlist on Spotify, different playlists will have their own tone. Different songs will fit particular moods or occasions. What particular mood, what particular tone is heard in this psalm? Is it not a psalm of mourning? Is it not a psalm of conviction? It is a memorial offering. It is a remembrance. And what is he remembering? He's remembering his own sin. He's remembering the spiritual weight that he carried. Look at these words. I mean, you can get this from the get-go, from verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger. He is crying out for mercy. He knows what he deserves. Lord, do not treat me as my sin deserves. Rebuke me not in my anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. He knows that this holy God, that he must express wrath. It is part of his nature. He is holy. He cannot look upon sin with favor or delight. And he knows this about God. And so he is pleading, Lord, would you not, do not rebuke me in your anger. Lord, if I must be disciplined, then, oh God, let it be done with mercy and with kindness. Lord, do not discipline me in your wrath. Why? You look at verse 2. For your arrows have sunk into me. Your hand has come down on me. And why? Why has he experienced the arrows, the heavy hand of a holy God? Why? You look at verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. Why is he indignant? Why would God be indignant with him? Well, look at verse 3. There's no health in my bones because of my sin.
He knows who he is before this righteous God.
That he has taken the laws of his holy Creator and willfully trampled them underfoot. His iniquities, his ethical corruptions, his moral filth. My iniquities, verse 4, have gone over my head, and like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Some of y'all have done backpacking on these long hikes. Some of you have done ruck marches where you are hiking through trails. And you're going cross country, and you're carrying a specific amount of weight on your back. And that weight feels heavier at the end of a 12-mile hike than it does at the beginning. David knew the weight. He knew the burden. And what was the burden? It was the burden of sin. That sin had a complete and total and thorough effect upon his whole being. It affected his soul, yes, but it also affected him physically. There's no health in my bones, verse 3, because of my sin. And because of his moral transgression, because of his ethical corruption, he knew that sin had unleashed this burning wind of heaven. It had released the arrows of conviction and the heavy hand of the law upon his soul. He felt it. He felt the burden. He knew conviction of sin. It had unleashed this foul stench. My wounds, they stink and fester. They have become infected. Because of why? Look at verse 5. Because of my foolishness. Okay, so what do you see here? He's moving toward this statement, "O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you." Your desire, your longing for God will be in proportion to your sense of need, in proportion to the sense of the weight that you carry. Are you aware of the burden? Do you feel deeply the arrows of conviction? Y'all, do you know? Are you aware of how greatly you need the mercy of God in Christ? Of course we live in a culture that has turned its back upon the Creator. It's back upon His design. It's back upon His statements of unerring truth. Of course we could expect nothing less, because there is no fear of God before our eyes. There's no awareness of the burden. There's no sense that we ourselves, not just the people who have done things to us, but we ourselves, that we are the man, that we ourselves have taken these righteous standards, and that we've dishonored, we have broken, we have smashed them, and then stomped upon them with all that we have. Of course there's no desire after God. Y'all, please, I urge you. Do you have a sense of who you are before God? That's the message of the Bible. Do you know who you are? Do you know that the wounds of your soul, which are self-inflicted, those wounds, they stink and fester? That this is a burden which cannot be released. It's not something you can let go of. You can't release the straps. They are sewn into your garments. And they can't be simply sloughed off. No, this is a burden that you carry. And so what is to be done? Oh, the Spirit of God, what does the Holy Spirit do? Does the Holy Spirit not take texts such as this one? And does He not use them as a balm? Does He not use them as a light? Does He not use them to search, to examine? Oh, does He not use them to awaken you to reality? To awaken you to who you are. What is there left for you and I to do? Look at verse 18. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. There's nothing else for us to do. You do yourself a favor this evening and take some of these prayers of the Bible where sin is being confessed. Read through Ezra chapter 9. Read Nehemiah chapter 9. Read these confessions and see if those confessions do not match your own heart. Though we have not listened to His commandments, which He's commanded by His servants, the prophets. How do you deepen your desire and longing for God? Well, you need to know how empty you are before you come to the manna from heaven. You need to know how starved your soul truly is before you come to His table. Only then will you come running. Only then will you come with quickened steps. Of course we need deep convictions of sin. Why? Because that gives us this longing. Lord, all my longing is before You. I seek relief from the burning winds. I seek for the arrows to be removed. Oh, that my conscience would be at peace, that I would enjoy this reconciled presence of my Heavenly Father. Of course, we need those convictions. And so you confess. Have you experienced the burden? Have you felt the weight? And then the second thing I want you to consider is, have you experienced true, solid hope? Have you experienced the hope? Is Jesus to you the fairest among 10,000? Is He altogether lovely? If He is, it is because the Holy Spirit has formed Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has given you this firm and certain hope. David understood where his hope truly lay, that it did not lie in his companions, in his kin, even those who were closest to him. Verse 11, my friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Now, he had experienced the isolation. He knew where his hope was found and where it could not be found. Your truest, deepest hope, your highest fulfillment. Y'all, it cannot be placed in the creature. We just read earlier this evening one of the most difficult statements Jesus makes in the New Testament. And it's a statement about our closest familial bonds. He makes a statement about marriage. And He makes this statement about in the resurrection, that they neither marry nor are given in marriage. A statement that is exceedingly difficult for you and I to hear and to read. Now, why would that be? He would ensure that your portion, your hope, your highest satisfaction is not found in the creature. You know, where is your deepest fulfillment? Where is your most earnest, fervent love to be found? Where is it? Look at this. Look at verse 15. For you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. Lord, you are my portion. You are my joy. You are my highest, my most exquisite, my most satisfying relational bond. My union with you is where everything is found. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee is found. You are all that I need. You are all I could ever desire. Everything is found in you, O Christ. Where is your hope found? Is it not found in him? It's not found in the creature. Do not forsake me, O Lord, verse 21. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. You look unto Christ. Oh, he is your salvation. He alone, he, the fairest among 10,000, the Lord Jesus, the hope of glory, the Lord Christ, the one who spoke as no man ever spoke, the one who loved as no one has ever loved, Jesus, the one who was clad with zeal as with a cloak, the Lord Jesus, he is your salvation. He is your hope. Oh, that Christ would be formed in you, the hope of glory, that each of your attentions would be arrested before this Christ, who, yes, speaks truth to you and convicts you of sin and righteousness and judgment. But then what does he do? Does he not utter the invitation to you to come unto him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and come to him for rest? Oh, that you would have this deepest longing and desire for Christ, that you would long, that you would pant for this righteousness which he gives, that you would ache for communion with him, that your highest satisfying relational bond would be found in him, that all your happiness, all your joy, all your peace of conscience, all your relief of soul would be found in him. So what do? If you find that, like the psalmist here in verse 17, what do if your pain is ever before you? That you live a life of continual sorrow and pain and mourning? And what do if your steps are dripped with tears? And what do if your nearest relations stand afar off? And what do if you feel the weight, the burning heat of conviction, the stabbing piercings of the law? What do? Will you not look to Christ, your sin bearer, who takes that burden, who takes the sword of the Spirit and he releases that burden, he cuts it away from your garments, and then he gives you new garments, garments of praise, garments of righteousness? Would you look to Christ, who was as our Redeemer, as our blessed Savior, as the King of Israel? Was he not able to sing this psalm? Though he had never sinned, though he had never transgressed one jot or tittle of the law, could Jesus not sing every line of this psalm as the one who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Could Jesus not take these statements and utter them as your confession, as your great high priest, as your Redeemer, as the one who would absorb the wrath of God on your behalf? In my place condemned he stood. Look to that Jesus. Look to that Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Look to that one who was struck by the arrows of divine wrath. Look to that one who was clothed for that season on Calvary's Hill for that one who was clothed with the wrath of God, draped in the Father's divine anger, his necessary wrath against sin. And know that there, in that Christ, Jesus our curse, bearing the dreadful curse for our souls, bearing a weight which we could never bear, know that in him all your peace, all your joy, more than all in him is found. Kids, that you would look to him and that you'd rejoice in him. That when you feel sad over your sin, and we do, don't we? We feel sad when we know what we've done. That when we feel sad, that you would look to this Jesus who was willing to carry that sadness for you as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and who is now able to speak peace to you. And instead of carrying a burden, weighing you down with every step, he releases you to run with joy, to run to the celestial city. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, how we do rejoice tonight in the burden being released. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that you, the Lamb of God, that you have taken this weight of sin and that you have carried it on your shoulders to Calvary's Hill, nailing it to the cross. Oh Lord, would you give us the deepest, most fervent, unashamed devotion and desire for you tonight, that we might run and not be weary, and that we might walk and not faint. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I will close tonight singing.